Good evening, ladies, and welcome to Growing in Grace, an interactive Bible study hosted by women just for women. You ladies could be anywhere else tonight, but you chose to be here with us, ready to share in the Word. My name is Julissa Granger, and I will be your moderator tonight, this Thursday, May 29th, 2025. I want to thank the founder of Growing in Grace, Sister Vicki Jordan-Williams, our favorite teacher preacher, for creating this opportunity for women to gather and grow in God. Tonight, the women of Growing in Grace will be discussing important issues and topics that matter to us, active, working, and busy women. This interactive Bible study is devoted to empowering women to live vicarious lives, not just tonight, but every day. We look forward to great discussion, sharing the inspiring and transformative Word of God, meeting each woman exactly where she is. However, ladies, before we begin, there are a few housekeeping rules that we need to share. Because this is an interactive Bible study hosted telephonically, we must be mindful of background noise and each other. With that, we kindly request the following. Keep your phone on mute at all times and remain on mute until the speaker opens up the line for questions and or comments regarding the lesson. Once you have offered your comments or completed your response, we ask that you please return to mute. Also, to make space for other women who may want to participate in tonight's discussion, we ask that you please limit your response to no more than 2 minutes. This will create the opportunity for more women to chime in and share or ask a question. But tonight, ladies, our topic is From Prayer to the Promise. Tonight's scriptures are coming from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, verses 8 through 9, and verses 10 through 12. Again, our topic is From Prayer to the Promise, and we will be coming from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, 8 through 9, and 10 through 12. Now, let's pray and turn our hearts towards God to invite Him into our discussion tonight.
Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, everlasting God, our Father in heaven, we worship you and celebrate your loving kindness and thank you for your unconditional love toward each of us, toward every woman participating in Growing in Grace tonight. In your word, God, it says, ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God, gather around your word on this platform. We, the women members of Growing in Grace, come to employ your grace through the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to a proper reception and understanding of your word. Oh, Father, help us to show more and more interest in your word. Help us to make ourselves available on Thursday evening to nourish ourselves with the spiritual bread, which alone can help us grow in your faith and draw closer to you. Guide, O Lord, our speaker, user, speak to us, to her, and instruct us according to your will for the glory of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, and amen some more. Father God, I just thank you, Lord God, for that prayer tonight. It was inspiring, it was encouraging, and it is timely. We thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do tonight. And we thank you for what you've already done. So ladies, welcome, welcome, welcome to joining Growing in Grace. I'm grateful for your presence tonight. I'm grateful for another trip around the sun. I give God all the glory for another year's journey. Because God has been good to me, ladies. Life has not always been kind to me, and I'm sure this story is not unique to me. I know many of you on the line know what I'm talking about. But God, I don't look like what I've been through. Amen? And through it all, I can say I've learned to trust in God. I have learned to trust in His Word. I truly believe, as I teach, that if God said it, it is so. And it cannot be otherwise. For I serve a God who is a promise keeper. I serve a faithful God who is true to His Word. And I know that I know that I know that I know that everything that I take to the Lord in prayer, He will deliver it unto me. He will respond to my cries. He will answer my call. Even when His answer to me is a resounding no. I've grown to understand that when God does not show up according to my date, I know that my Father absolutely is not late. He has not failed. He will never fail to show up in my life. God will always show up according to His perfect will for my life. He knows what's best for me. He is the architect of my life. And it's just as I praise and exalt God, ladies, you can make that personal for you. Because we can have the same relationship in Christ or better. Because He is available to each and every one of us. And this brings me to tonight's message. Between the prayer and the promise. Amen? Between the prayer and the promise. This message is about learning to lean into trusting God. To believe that once you have prayed, once you have gone boldly into the throne of God, you have knocked on the door. You have made your request known to God. That in all of that, God will answer you. Because God hears your cry. He hears our cries for help and for relief, for healing and for protection, and He will answer us. He will answer us because, one, He promised to do so. Two, that through His Word, He's made a covenant with us. And three, because of all of that, that is His nature. That is a part of His character. That God is a faithful God. He is a dependable God. He is an honest God. He is a promise keeper. He does not go back on His word. His word always accomplishes that and what He sent it forth to do. It never returns to Him void. What is in the word, ladies, is your covenant agreement. Every promise that God has made in the Bible, that is your covenant agreement. It was blood bought. That's your covenant agreement. That is His promise to us, His love letter. The promises that He lavishes upon us. That's that abundant life that Christ came to give us. That life, and that life more abundantly, that's that living water that shows up in the Word. That's your promise. That's what you hold on to. Because in those promises, that is where you stand on the word of God. And so through our study of spiritual discipline, and this particular discipline of prayer, we've learned that prayer is the ordained means by which we talk with God, and how we listen to God. That's how we fellowship with Him to build the intimacy in our relationship with Him. And it's through this intimate relationship that we grow to trust Him, to trust Him at His word, to trust what He is saying to us when we are laying and communing with Him in our prayer time. And so to walk through Philippians 4, 6 through 12 in our discussion of prayer as a spiritual discipline, I'm going to unpack Philippians 4, 6 through 12 by breaking it down into three sections. These three sections that are broken down provides an image of how we should experience the process between the prayer and the promise. Philippians 4, 6 through 12 has provided me so much guidance in my time over the years of growing with God and travailing with God through prayer and waiting on God to answer a prayer. I found hope in Philippians 4, 6 through 12. And ladies, I encourage you to see it as an image of the process of the experience that we all go through from the moment we make that request to waiting on the request to receiving the request. And so Philippians 4, 6 through 12, phase one is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. I like to call that's a request phase. That's the request phase and the phase where you go to God, set forth your petition, and allow the peace of God to guard you while you're waiting on the promise. Phase 2, Philippians 4, 8 through 9, is that waiting period. That's right there in that middle. That's where we're going to spend a lot of time at tonight. Because I like to call that phase also the wilderness. Amen? And that final phase, phase 3, is Philippians 4, 10 through 12. That is the contentment phase. That is the process of getting over into that promised land and being content. Where whether God has given you a resounding no, or whether God answered your prayer differently than the way you expected Him to. But in either way, you have found a way to be content. You've learned to be content in either situation. Amen? So tonight's message, from prayer to the promise, I'm going to start with Philippians 4, 6 through 7, phase 1. Make your request known and allow the peace of God. So if scripture starts at verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. So before I move forward in breaking that down, let me remind you all of our last message that we were together. Ladies, we do not have to beg God for anything. That scripture did not say anything about begging. It says, make your request known. We can recall the last time we were together, 1 Peter says to cast all your cares upon Him. As people of God, we are not beggaboos. God has given us giving us through the death of his son the blood-bought right to come boldly to him, to cast all of our cares, to make our requests known to him. And having done that, ladies, then we can turn our worries into prayers. Because the peace of God will shore you up. So the scripture is saying, one, I like to give this step back. Consult God. Consult the scriptures. Make sure that your prayers are in alignment with the Word of God. We want to make sure that what we are asking of God is available in the Word. Remember, I said to you earlier that we have a covenant with God, a covenant agreement with Him. That covenant provides our promises. God responds to His Word. He answers our prayers and provides for us according to his word. And oftentimes, or sometimes, we've asked God for things that is not biblical. It's not provided for in the word. So first we want to consult the word. We want to make sure that our prayers are in alignment with the word of God. Secondly, we want to make the request known to God in our prayers. Meaning we want to take that word, meaning take that covenant agreement to God in prayer. God responds to his word. He hears our cries, but he responds to his word. We don't pray the word of God to God because we need to remind him of what his word says. God is fully aware of what his word says. He's the architect of this word. We remind him of the word because we're taking the agreement that he made with us through the word into our prayers. Because that is what we're standing on. That is how God moves according to his covenant agreement with us, which is the word of God. And three, we want to thank him. We want to thank him for what he's going to do. And we want to thank him for what he's already done for us. Because when we take the time to thank God for what he's already done, when you can think back on the goodness of God and what he's already done for you, those memories are examples of the faithfulness of God. Those examples increases our faith. They cement and establishes and roots that confidence that we need. Those examples of what God has already done, it shores us up. It is easier to believe God when you have examples of what he's already done. Sometimes those examples are maybe not what God has done for you, per se. It could be what God has done for Sister Sally or Sister Sue. This is why testimonies are so important. Because your testimony could be the point of my overcoming. I can use your testimony to believe God for what I need in my own life. And then the peace of God. Ladies, we have to allow the peace of God. He doesn't just roll over us. We have to allow the peace of God. And this peace I'm talking about is not fleeting. I'm not talking about positive thinking or something that's temporary. I'm talking about the peace that is a part of your being, the peace that lives in you, that takes up residency in you, this peace that is steadfast. It remains within you. Despite the presence of problems, this peace remains in you. It doesn't go away when you get offended or slighted or receive bad news or get your feelings hurt or your mood changes. No, we're not talking about that kind of peace. We're talking about the peace of God that he provided for you as a gift and an inheritance that's outlined in John 14:27. We're talking about that peace that is rightfully yours. It is your inheritance. But we have to allow it to reign, to rule, and abide in our lives. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. So Philippians 4:6-7 is make your request. But ladies, make sure your request has a foundation that's rooted in the Word of God. Everything that we need in this world, every situation or every concern or every crisis that you may be experiencing, there is a prescription for it in the Word of God. There's a solution for it in the Word of God. Google your issue and ask Google for the scriptures that pertain to your issue. Go to the back of your Bible in the concordance and look up the scriptures that fit under the topic of what you're going through, of what you're experiencing, of what you're hoping for. Choose 2 or 3 good scriptures. Meditate on them and get them down in your spirit and take them into God in prayer. Because that is the covenant agreement that you have with God. And that is what you stand on, and that is what God moves on. When we allow the peace of God to rule in us, we learn to trust God. He gives us a peaceful perspective of what's going on. When we allow the Spirit of God to help us, we can zoom out and zoom back in and to gather a different perspective of our situation. It's something about looking at your issue through the lens of the Word of God. God will allow you to look at a situation that for you and for so other many looks like a dead situation. When you look at it, it appears dead. But what God sees is a situation to glorify himself through. It looks like it's dead. It looks like God is not going to respond to it. But God knows just when to step in to move that stone away and call forth that situation that appears dead to you. God knows when to show up. Christ knew Lazarus was sick. He waited 3 days until Lazarus was dead. He went because he used that situation to glorify him through. He knew all along that Lazarus was going to die, but he knew that he would raise him up from death in order to glorify God. There are some situations in your life or things that you're going through, maybe your life or in your body or whatever it is, that God is using for his glory. We serve a resurrecting God. And when God is ready to call that thing forth, when God is ready to remove that stone and call that thing forth, he will, according to his timing and in his perfect will for your life. But in all of that, God is going to get the glory. God will receive the glory. He will declare his word over every situation in our life. He will call them alive. Amen? Paul said that he had learned to see life in the situations around him from God's point of view. Amen? Zoom out and zoom back in and view your situation through the eyes of the Lord, through the Word of God. Let's get a different perspective. Let's get a divine perspective of our situation. Philippians 2. I want to stop right here. And I want to ask a question. I would like for you all to share a time when you have learned, when you have leaned back on something that God has already done for you to help build up your faith while you waited for Him to answer your prayer, your current prayer or situation to respond. The line is open. Have you shared time when you've leaned back on something that God had already done in your life to give you the faith or increase your confidence to wait on God? Amen. The line is open. Whenever you use something that God has already done to give you faith to wait on God right now.
I have something. It's the current job I'm in. I had previously, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, applied for a position and I didn't hear anything. And somebody else got it. And so I wind up changing jobs and the same title I applied for, and I got it. But what's so significant about that is previously I'm thinking God said no. And sometimes He may not say no, is wait, not right now.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the situations and everything has changed. The dynamics are different, but I've been granted this favor from God, and I totally appreciate it. So that's just an example. I knew from Him things that He's done in the past. I knew to wait, and possibly He will grant me favor, and He did.
Amen, amen. Sometimes God does not say no. Because God has not answered your prayer, it doesn't mean that God has said no. The woman of God said that sometimes God is saying, not right now, just wait. That is God's perfect timing for our lives. God knew exactly what position He had available for the woman of God. He knew why He wanted her in that place and not the other place. Amen? God always responds to our prayers one way or the other. Amen? He always responds to our prayers. Amen? Someone else?
I would like to say that on my job, been on the job for like, let's say 17 years at the time, and I decided I wanted to go home and work from home because I wanted to homeschool my grandson. I work in the doctor's office, mind you, and I'm in clinical dealing with patients. So I went to the CEO, and he was like, well, girl, you know, you can't do clinical at home. I'm like, I know. But he's like, well, if we can't find you a position outside of clinical, are you going to quit? I said, I don't know. I might have to. Making a long story short is they created a position for me that did not exist so I can come home and stay with the company and still get paid at the same rate and get promotions while I'm at home. So that was a door open that God opened that I wasn't expecting it. I just wanted to come home, even if I had to quit my job. But God saw fit that I didn't have to quit my job. I just prayed and asked God. I'm like, if it's meant for me to stay here, open that door, make a way. And that's exactly what He did, made that way for me to continue with my job. Now I've been working from home now going on 3 years. And next month, it will be 20 years that I've been on the job.
Amen. 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 I really have enjoyed these two testimonies because each one hit exactly what the Word of God is describing or demonstrating to us through Philippians 4, 6 through 7. One is not yet, just wait. And the next one is waiting. It was actually still just waiting and believing God for answered prayer. Ladies, God, I'm trying to find the right verses. God is not a genie in a bottle. He is not a fairy godfather. And we can stroke him and rub him and say, poof, give us these things. That is not how prayer works. Prayer is a means for us to commune with God, to talk with him and to listen with him. It is to grow with him, to learn his ways, to learn his will for our lives. Everything about us is for God's glory. We were created to serve him and to worship him in the beauty of holiness. That's why we were created. And because a relational God created us, he created us in order to dwell with us as we serve him and worship him in the beauty of holiness. So God's desire always is for you to be exactly what he created you to be. For you to perform in the earth for the kingdom, the assignment that he set aside for you before you were in your mother's womb. Every one of us have a role to play in the kingdom of God. God has assigned you something especially for you. There are gifts that you have that are unique to the kingdom. And we need you plugged into that place. This is why prayer is so important. Because prayer is the place where we get our instruction. Prayer is the place where we receive our strength to walk out those instructions. Prayer is the place where we hone in on our gifts and our talents, our role to play. That is where we receive all of that. And prayer is the place where we war against the enemy. Because the battle isn't ours, but we have to be connected with God to fight the good fight. Because we're nothing on our own. But with God, all things are possible. So think of prayer as a meeting place where you consult with God about his business for you, not what you can get out of God. I encourage you to view prayer through those lenses. Because you will grow in intimacy differently. Your prayers will become useful and meaningful. Your focus will be kingdom-led. And when you're kingdom-led or kingdom-minded, God is always, always going to speak to you about his business. When you give yourself, when you submit yourself to God, as the psalm says, when you give yourself away, when you submit all of yourself, all of your members, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service, God is going to always talk to you about that. Because God is always about his business. We are here for the purpose of expanding the kingdom of God. Let us become kingdom-minded. Let us gather in ourselves and in our prayer a divine perspective of what it is God wants for us. And this is especially important during the middle part of your waiting, once you made that request to God. Once now you're waiting on God. Now, sometimes when you're battling to allow that peace to remain on you, because in your flesh, you're waiting. You're waiting. And being kingdom-minded, as opposed to being focused on what you can get out of God's hand, it makes the difference in how we experience that waiting. Or I like to call it that wilderness. Amen? So Philippians 4 through 6, I'm sorry, Philippians 4, 8 through 9 is that wilderness time. And let's read the word. It said, and finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right and pure and lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Will be with you. In this point right here, think on those things that are good and pure and lovely and admirable, whatever is of a good report, think on those things. This is when meditation and memorization becomes most important. During this waiting period, meditation and memorization helps us. It helps to guard our hearts and our minds. Because we know that Christian meditation involves filling your mind with God and the truth about God. When we fuel ourselves with the Word of God, building up our faith and confidence through the Word, the Holy Spirit then retrieves those scriptures from our memory bank. And He uses them when we need them the most. He's timely that way. But the scriptures have to be stored up in our mind for it to be available to the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that I have hidden the Word, or I have stored up the Word in my heart so that I do not sin against you. Meditation allows us to roll around the promises of God, to recall the promises of God. And those promises is what you're standing on while you're waiting on God. Those promises is what provides you the hope of glory. Those promises is what reminds you that we serve a faithful God. It's in the Word. And memorization and meditation sits right there in the middle. It's the bridge between the Word and Christ. Is meditation and memorization. It is the connective part of the spiritual discipline that connects the Word of God to our prayer. Because when you read the Word, you are studying that Word. You are hiding that Word in your heart. You are filling yourself up with the bread of life. You're eating. You're feeding your spirit man with the bread of life and with the rivers of living water. And when you need it the most, the Holy Spirit goes right in and pull it out of you. That same Word that you hidden in your heart, that you memorized and you rolled around over and over and over through your mind, your creative imagination, which is an instrument for us to memorize the Word of God. Your imagination is. It's an instrument that we use to roll the Word of God around in our hearts and minds. You take in that Word into prayer. That Word you've stored up. That Word that you have, that you fueled your soul with, your mind, your heart. That waiting period must be a period where your mind becomes transformed. When you are thinking on those things that bring life and life more abundantly, those things that give you hope, you want to think on those things. Because it's right there in that wilderness where the battle is won or lost. It's that place, right there in the middle, where you're waiting on God. This is the place where Israel faltered. They lost their divine perspective right there at the edge of the promised land. Numbers 13, 26, and 23. It's such a sad story when you think about it, that the Israelites lost their perspective. They forgot all about all the things that God had done for them. They didn't remember the promises that he had made to them. That was the reason why they had left Egypt. It's to go into the land flowing with milk and honey. And right there at the edge of the promised land, they decided they couldn't do it because the giants were there. But what about the promise? God made a promise. They forgot about the character of God, that he's faithful to his word. That if he brought you out of Egypt to take you into a land full of milk and honey, that he was going to do exactly that. That he wasn't going to leave them there. And that whatever was in the front of them, God was going to take care of that, like he had taken care of all the other stuff that they had encountered from the trip from Egypt to Mount Sinai, from Mount Sinai almost to the edge of the land flowing with milk and honey. They didn't remember all that God had already done for them, like the woman of God testified about tonight. They forgot about how he had kept them between Egypt and the edge of the promised land. Oh, they forgot about the parting of the Red Sea. They forgot about the manna that he flowed down from heaven to feed them out there in the wilderness. They forgot about the water that he provided for them from a rock. They forgot about the protection that he provided for them when they were being pursued out there time and time again. You see, in the wilderness is where you are most likely to be tempted to distrust God. See, it's in this place that you get weak and weary, distracted, discouraged. You start focusing on the problem versus the promise. Because the journey has been long. You've been waiting a long time for God to answer your prayer. You've been waiting for quite a long time, many, many months, to see the manifestation of your prayer. But if you can remember that you're at the edge of the promised land, there was, I said, promised land. You're at the edge of something that God has already said he would do. His word would never return unto him void. It will always accomplish what he said it would do. If God said a thing, it is a thing, and it cannot be otherwise. That faith and confidence in the word of God is that come hell or high water faith. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, or what you say it is. It looks dead to you, but I serve a resurrecting God. He can revive anything. I don't care how stinky it is, how long it's been in that cave, that I serve a God who can move stones and call forth what looks like it's dead. That kind of faith. Because we're not going back to Egypt. We're going to the place he promised you. That's where you have to have that kind of faith in the middle when you're waiting for God. Because God is not
concerned about your date. He's concerned about the promise that he made, and he's concerned about the purpose that you have in the earth. That thing you want now may not line up with the timetable that God has for the purpose for your life in the earth. It may not be compatible. Everything is good, ain't God? It's good that you want to do those things. It's good that you want that promotion. It's good that you want all of these other things, but it may not line up with the purpose that God has for you. Or it may not line up with the purpose that God has for you right now. And when we can get kingdom-minded, we won't turn back at the edge of the promised land. Because we understand that it's all about God. Everything is about Him. It always is. And we can focus on getting ourselves lined up with the will of God for our lives. Then we won't find ourselves disappointed when God doesn't respond the way we want Him to. We won't allow the enemy to come in and block our blessings by distorting our perspective of God. He wants to rob you of your confidence in what God has promised you. He wants to distort your divine perspective, and He wants you to think that God is not going to do for you today what He did for you already. You know, Satan, because in the end, what Satan wants is for you to flat out curse God. He wants you to question God's character, God's ability to do, God's power and willingness to perform what His word says that He can. He wants you to believe that God does not keep His promises and that He does not love you nor care about you. But I'm here to tell you that the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. He wants you to humanize God. He wants you to project onto God all of the past hurts and disappointments that some other man has locked into your life, or some other woman has locked into your life. And despite the disappointment, God is not a man. He is not a man that he should lie. God is a sovereign God who sits high and He looks low. He knows everything about each and every one of us, and that He is concerned about everything in our life. And in the end, He is working it out. So before I go any further, I want to ask another question. How do you intentionally guard your thoughts and actions to reflect the qualities described in Philippians 8-9? How do you intentionally guard your thoughts and actions to reflect the qualities described in Philippians 4:8-9, especially living in such a distracted and pressure-filled world? The line is open.
Hi, good evening, Sister Vicki. It's Nadia. God bless you and happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So for me, the way that I guard myself is having an accountability partner. I think that's really important, some place where I can be transparent and lean into that. In addition to that, it's really just being intentional about opening the Word and diving into it daily, right? Because as you grow in Christ, the conviction of the word, once you hear it, like, it turns your heart. If you were about to walk into sin or about to just say, you know, forget the promises, There's something that happens when you open that word and God needs to speak to you and the word comes to light. And so those two things have been really good principles that have guided me to either get back on track, because there are times where you just get to the precipice of walking away from everything, right? And in those moments, like I said, the accountability and really going into the word has helped me. And being obedient, like, because oftentimes, too, there are people that God assigns to you, and you may be right at that moment, but if your heart is in the right posture, an angel through in human form comes to you and just reminds you of God's purpose and his promises.
Amen, amen, amen. I absolutely agree with that, Nadia, that God speaks to us through the word, through other people. Amen. He uses other folk in our lives all the time, because it, for me, it signifies that God knows everything about me. The fact that God sends someone your way when you need a word, when you need the encouragement, that push, that's because God is responding to something that he knows that you have need of. God meets us exactly where we need him the most. He absolutely provides every one of our needs. He leaves nothing on the table. God uses everything in our lives. He is concerned about every area. So God speaks to us through the word and through other people. Amen. And we have to be open to it. You know when you're receiving a good word, because the Spirit of God will let you. The Word of God said, try the Spirit by the Spirit, and you will know that it is God. So your spirit man, who you are feeding, who is wide awake, he good and strong, because he's eating every day, he's drinking every day, he's good and strong. He's alert all the time, living big and large inside of you. You know when someone is prophesying or prophesying. You know when someone is encouraging you or just telling you about their own business. Because the Spirit of God who lives inside of you will prompt you and inform you as such. Amen? So I thank you for that message, for your testimony. So I'm going to close, ladies. I just want you to remember his promises. I want you to remember what the Bible says about you and your request. I want to encourage you to line your requests up with what the Word of God says. Remember that the Word of God, and meditating on that Word, helps you change your perspective. It allows you to zoom out and zoom back in. That meditation and memorization play an important role in helping us do that, because it fuels our prayers and it fuels our faith while we wait on God to do what he's going to do. While we wait on God to do what he is going to do. And the way he is going to do it. So think on those things, ladies. Recall scriptures. Recall the scriptures that are the foundations of the prayer requests that you have cast upon the Lord, that you have set forth at the throne of God. Meditate on those scriptures, rolling them around like a cow. Chew it and spit it out. Bring it back in. Chew it around some more. Spit it out, regurgitate it, bring it back up, chew it around some more, and allow it to get into your heart, to get into your mind, to get down in you, rooted and grounded inside of you. Amen? And change your negative thoughts. Allow those things that you are thinking of, those things that are good and pure and noble and of a good report. Allow those thoughts to evict those negative thoughts, and speak life. Speak the word of God. Recall the promises of God in your prayer. Remember, Christian meditation involves filling your mind with God and the truth about God. Remember that when everything looks like it's not going to work out, stay the course. Recall the promises from his word. Recall the petitions that you cast upon him. and allow the peace of God to keep you, to guard your thoughts and your heart. And in all of that, be reminded that your prayers, that God's going to respond to your prayers according to his purpose for you in the kingdom. It's all about his glory. God uses every situation, every trial, even every tribulation, not to harm us or to ignore us, but to demonstrate his power, his glory in the earth. And remember that God has not forgotten about you. He is working it out for your good. He is not late. Stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. God will answer you. He will answer according to his perfect will for your life, because he knows what is best for you. Trust him. And while you're waiting, continue to delight yourself in the Lord. Spend quality time in his presence. Oh, roll around with him in your private time. Give him space to move in your life, to speak to you. He will show you you in those moments. And he will show you him in those moments. He will show you his desires for you. The word of God says in Psalms 37 that if you delight yourself in the Lord, then he will give you the desires of your heart. And what that scripture really means is that God will give you the things that you now desire, not giving you what you want like he is a genie or a fairy godfather. God wants you to desire what he desires. And when you go into God on a consistent basis, having built an intimate relationship with him, praying his will according to the promises of God, you will begin to desire what God wants you to desire. He will give you the desires of your heart. He put those desires there. You will begin to want what God wants for you. Your desires will begin to line up with the will of God. Because the thing that you're desiring is the thing that he put there. He put those desires in your heart. Allow him to do it. Give him space and room in prayer. And change your perspective on what prayer is. And allow the peace of God to rest, rule, and abide while you wait on God to answer your prayer. He's faithful and just to forgive us, and he's more than able to perform what we ask of him. Give him space and time. Amen. I give you over to the moderator.
So thank you, Sister Vicki, for tonight's teaching, magnifying the perspective of prayer, that we serve a God who keeps all of his promises towards us, all of his promises towards us. Well, we here at Growing in Grace encourage you ladies to continue to meditate on tonight's word. Allow the Spirit of God to minister to you throughout the rest of the week and into your weekend. And may you be reassured that our confidence is indeed in his word. If you were encouraged by tonight's teaching, we kindly ask that you do two things. Share this word of encouragement with another woman and invite a friend to connect with Growing in Grace and join us next time by forwarding the weekly marketing text that you receive from Growing in Grace each week. If you would like to leave a comment about tonight's message, please feel free to text your comment to Growing in Grace text number. That's the same number in which we receive our weekly invitations. And lastly, if you are in need of prayer, please reach out and contact Growing in Grace using the email address at growinggrace, capital I-N-G, growinggrace2025@gmail.com. Again, that's growing in grace, capital ING, 2025@gmail.com. Now I turn it over to Sister Vicki Jordan Williams, our birthday girl, for important announcements and our closing prayer.
Amen, amen. I just want to say thank you, ladies, for your text messages and your phone calls. And, again, I'm just grateful to God for another trip around the sun, for another year's journey, and have good health in doing it. I just appreciate another opportunity to give God glory, another opportunity to be used by God, and it's always good to be here with you, ladies. So thank you again for reaching out to me. I appreciate you. I love each and every one of you. I will see you again in two more weeks. Continue to meditate on the word, roll that word around in your heart, get to know that word, and take it to the Lord in prayer, and wait patiently on the Lord. Be confident that he hears you and that he will answer you according to his perfect will for your life. Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for the word tonight, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for showing up for us, Lord God, and showing yourself to us, Lord God. Father, I thank you for each and every woman that gathered here tonight, Lord God. Father, I trust, Lord God, by the Spirit of God, that the word found a place in their hearts, Lord God. Father, I believe by the Spirit of God that this word has been rooted and grounded in their hearts, Lord God. Father, I thank you that it is useful for them, Lord God, for growing them up, Lord God. Father, for storing them up, Lord God, and drawing them closer to you, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for growing in grace with each and every one of these women, Lord God, for growing in a more intimate relationship with you, Lord God, with all of these women, Lord God, that we're learning, Lord God, through the word that we serve a good God, a kind God, a faithful God, that we serve a God who will not fail, cannot fail, that we serve a promise keeper. And that, Father, that as we continue to delight ourselves in you, Lord God, that we make ourselves available to you through the Holy Spirit to give us the desires of our heart, Lord God. That, Father, that we will want what you want for us, Lord God. That, Father, that we would submit ourselves as living sacrifice, Lord God, holy and acceptable unto you, Lord God, which is our reasonable service, Lord God. That, Father, we would see ourselves as created beings, Father, who were designed on earth, Lord God, to serve you and worship you in the beauty of holiness, Lord God. That we would be, that we are in the kingdom of God to serve, Lord God, to do your will, to perform your purpose in the earth, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would show each and every woman, Lord God, her purpose in the earth, her gifts, her talents, and how she uniquely fits into the kingdom of God. Father, be reminded that we are many members of this body, Lord God, and we need each and every one of you. The Lord needs each and every one of us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to do the work of the ministry. So, Father, I pray that you touch their hearts and their minds, Lord God, that they would be willing and ready to complete the good work that you begun in them until the day of Jesus Christ. And that, Father, that they would draw close to you, Lord God, and you would draw nigh to them. Father, I pray that you reveal yourself to them, even in their dreams, Lord God, and that they will grow deeper and stronger in their relationship with you. Keep them, Lord God, in their ways. I ask all of these things in Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Have a good night, ladies. God bless you, and I will see you again, hear you again in two more weeks. Amen?
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Love you.
Love you, ladies. Thank you.